miracles. That's so wonderful. Take your Bibles, please. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. As you turn there, you'll see around here there's some posters, and it's also, I'm certain, in the prayer page tonight, the announcements about the open house that is coming. And for some reason, I want to say it's the 6th. I don't know if that's the date. Is that the date, Penny? All right. I don't think we have an option. God has made it such that your children need a very safe place. And there's not a better place in the Silicon Valley but North Valley Baptist School. There's not a better place. The teachers, the students, the program, the philosophy, care, the music, the Bible, the wood shop, the graphic shop, the wonderful science lab that they have, the gym, just so many programs. And I hope that you understand what we have. I'd like you to go online and do a cost comparison of all the Christian schools, parochial schools. And when you choose about maybe 50 schools, you'll see that North Valley Baptist Church is the lowest rate of all financially. And there's a cost, I know, but my goodness. When you look at some of these schools, I could name one right now. We play in sports, it's $50,000 a year. It's a lot of money. And if you want your kids to live there, it's even more. And what a program we have. I know it for a fact because on Wednesday, I get to be there. The elementary kids are just, there's no one like them. They're incredible. The teachers are so great. And then when you move over to the high school, those kids are wonderful. And have your children, come on in, girls, if you will, have your children in it, please, in an environment like that. You'll never regret it. Get them registered. And then I hope as we draw to close the year that you would be certain to thank the teacher in notes and the school office there and then the principal. They labor for you, and they put a lot of time in this. So I hope we'll remember that. Tonight, how to move the heart of God. God's heart can be moved when he saw the tears of Lazarus' sisters. He was moved. He said when he saw the tears of Hezekiah, he said, I'll give you 15 more years. And when God sees our heart, and our heart so many times moves us to weep before God. I like my wife, we were talking about the scripture last night. She said, I've not heard a lot of messages out of Lamentations, is where she's at in her Bible reading schedule. And she said, there's not a lot. I said, well, that's where we get in chapter 1, let us weep again. And when was the last time you wept over our country? Or wept over the cause of Christ, or wept for missionaries? I have the joy, and somehow we're going to have to change this so you'll get to see all the missionary letters. I don't know how we do that nowadays if we post them online, but every missionary is positive. But I think of one of our girls that's over in Uganda, Alicia Stensis, and she mentioned that they're in a school, and all of a sudden now, after all these years of teaching there, and their people have been teaching there, a new vice principal who was a Muslim came in and said, Christians are not allowed. And the students want them there, and the principal wants them there, and the parents want them there, but that law stands, and those teachers are gone. And she wrote how that, and it's not all negative things, she's writing good things, but how that in her house, they got a cobra and killed it, but then another one got in there. And her dogs that she has to have to guard got it, but then someone poisoned her two guard dogs. And then the scorpions that are in the house. You know, these missionaries, I read so many last weekend about the missionaries and all they do. How can we hear about our missionaries and not weep for them? Many of them in harm's way, but they're doing what they can for the cause of Christ. And I thank God for missionaries. Thank God for the undoubtedly hundreds and hundreds of missionaries watching right now. And your labor is not in vain. Then how can we raise children not weep over them? Perhaps you can steal away to their bedroom and in their little cribs, hear them breathing and pray for them. And our marriages and our church and all of it. God's heart is moved with tears. Then we saw God's heart is moved with prayer. And of course, this kind cometh about by prayer, the miraculous kind. The disciples were powerless. Then last week we saw that God's eyes are looking for righteousness. And he's looking for, here's a righteous person, that he might pour out his blessing because of the righteousness of that individual. Tonight we see another one, and God says, I will use, if you employ this in your life, I will meet your need because you believe this. I can take care of this. And then the word tonight we're going to see as we're in Mark chapter 2 is the word faith. God says, you exercise faith and I will bless your faith. We'll see it tonight in these few moments. What is faith? Well, I think if you've been a member here any length of time, we know that faith is believing God. It's just to believe that God can do what God is capable of doing. And God can do anything but fail. God can in your life. God can meet whatever that need is. God can do that. God can meet the needs of this church. God could meet the need of America right now. God can do that. But we have to live by faith. And I know we get weak, those three Hebrew children. God's going to deliver us, but if not. We all have those. We're human. I know that. But one of the great reasons why for 42 years God has blessed this church is because collectively the church has been people of faith. I cannot tell you when, decades and decades, that anybody gave me a negative report that this is too big. This is too monumental. I gave you a booklet with 50 items on it for 7.5 years, and point 50 is the miscellaneous account, and we keep doing things around here. We'll say, well, let's put it in count number 50. And 50 is now 51, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and we're getting a lot of things done. But God's supplying the need. But you know, that booklet is way out of control. It is way beyond us, those 50 points. And yet not one person said, this can't be done. We cannot in the Silicon Valley get a college campus. We can't in the Silicon Valley get a hotel. We can't find, at that time, when I wrote the book, $8.5 million to pay the debt off, now down to about 7.5, and it's keep going down real quickly. And by 7 years, we'll be done, if not before, and I'm praying before. No, not one person said, you know, this is impossible. Don't you know the state of America? The state of America for 4% unemployment? That means 96% of the people are working? Is that what you're trying to tell me? And there's not another, as I said, country in the world, Sunday, not another country in the world that has 96% employed? That's really falling apart, isn't it? Someone told me, I heard a report, they said, and I know, I guess, I'm not seeing the kids rebelling and lawlessness and on the streets, the teenagers now, it's reached down to that, let's stop these guns and all. But someone told me today now that 11 people a day are being killed by texting while driving cars. So we're going to have to go after the cell phone people. It's kind of an interesting thing, isn't it? Our minds are so warped. But I still believe God could bring revival to the church. It's not the nation that needs revival, it's the church. The church is a mess. God honors faith, believing Him, stepping out into the water, watching the water open up, watching the water stand still so Peter can walk on the water. God honors faith. And tonight we begin in chapter 2, and I'm going to ask you to get ready to turn to some scripture, and you may want to jot some scripture down. And again, he entered in Capernaum, after some days. There was noise that he was in the house. And straightway, that word straightway is the word immediately, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which is born of four. Four people took these four corners and carried this man to this house. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof, which where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed where the sick of the palsy lay. Verse 5. Let's read it to the word faith, shall we? Ready, begin. When Jesus saw their faith, the there refers back to the palsy man. No. Who is the there? Those four that were carrying him. When Jesus saw these four people's faith, these four men's faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven. Now certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why did this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit they were so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it is easy to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. For he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, read it together, we never saw it on this fashion. I would want it for the glory of God. I'd want it for the reward of God's people. I would want it so that other churches in our nations could say, there is a church in Santa Clara, California, they just believe God. That's faith. They just believe God can. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. You know, it was a miracle that God saved so many souls on Sunday. I can't do that. You can't do that. This church cannot do it, but God can do it. And I think he saw your faith going to get these people, filling our buses, bringing them to the house of God, letting them stand on these platforms, letting them sing and letting them quote scripture. And guess what? God said, I saw your faith. And God saved souls on Sunday. I received an email from a lady, and she said, I was in church Sunday. I heard your sermon. She might be here tonight. And she went on to say what God did in her life. I'll be back, she said. You know, thank God that God can do anything but fail. Tonight as we look at faith, and faith moves the heart of God. For without faith, it is impossible, Hebrews 11:6, to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a, here it is, rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How? By faith. God rewards faith. God always rewards faith, believing God. There's a verse that's found once in the Old Testament, three times in the New Testament. If you want to jot it down, it says the same thing all four times. Habakkuk chapter 2. We won't turn there. Habakkuk 2, verse 4. Romans 1:17, if you'd like to write it down and take a look at it later. Habakkuk 2:4. Romans 1:17. Galatians 3:11. And then Hebrews 10:18. The Bible says this, the just shall live by faith. God expects faith. Faith says, I can't, but God can. Faith says, this is too big for me, but God can move this mountain. God says, you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can move this mountain. God can't do it. God, his hand is not short. Here, what we have read in this verse, God saw their faith, and their faith moved the heart of God. Turn with me to the book of Luke, please. Whether it's your marriage or whether it's your parenting, or whether it's your business, or whether it's your job, or the lack thereof, or the what finding a job. God can do anything. Why is it, and we live in an environment that many of you in the computer field constantly lose your jobs. One of our best men told me tonight that he lost his job. Not because, but they're shutting down that division. It happens. In the computer field, it just happens regularly. And he's gone through this before. And I watched him wait it out and wait it out and wait it out and wait it out and wait it out. God gave him a job. And his response was not this, but why is it I lost my job? I think I've got to go to Alaska. Why is it? And I know that God moves. I do know that. One of our sweet little couples moved just recently, and I think they were a couple of couples, and I believe they were in the will of God. You're not if you leave, but you know, don't you become judge and jury that they should have stayed away. God knows all that. But I would say this, that God can take care of you here just like he can in Alaska. And God can take care of you folks that are watching in Alaska where it's still cold, as he can take care of you here. I don't mean to hurt you in Barrow, Alaska, where it was -7 just a few minutes ago. It was 78 here today. Praise God for that. God can take care of us. And here in the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 7, and I want you to notice with me in verse 41 through 50, there's a woman and her faith and her creditors. In Luke 7, in verse 41, these creditors were putting the pressure on. And God took care of that lady. And then he saw this woman, and Simon saw the woman entering into the house. Verse 44, thou gavest me no water for my feet, and she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with her hairs of her head. Thou gavest no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. And where I said unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. She loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same little loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. They that sat with meat with them began to say within themselves, why is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, would you read it with me? Ready? Thy faith has saved thee. Believing that God can save. Whatever the background may have been, whatever how vile it may have been, whatever the situation, God can save. A preacher friend of mine who's not been able to send us students from the East Coast for some reason, but he's been very generous with our college through the years. And he said, he's asking me to pray for a need of a man who's on death row. He said, this man, I led him to Christ on death row 30 years ago. And he said, though he committed crime, his life has literally for the last 30 years been transformed in prison. How can that happen? Believing that God can see that happen. Faith in God. Your husband's lost. God can save him. But you don't understand. He's a drunk, but God can save him. And my wife is so away from God, but God can bring her back. My son, my daughter, my children, my relatives. But God can. God can. God can do anything. And believe God and trust God. Faith says believe God. How about chapter number 8 and verse number 48? Here's this woman that had the issue of blood. The Bible says in verse 48, he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And after that issue of blood for so many years and years and years, and she came down and was trembling in his presence. He said, you had faith. You believed. And the issue of blood was taken care of. Chapter 8 and verse number 25 of Luke. And the Bible says, he said unto them, Where's your faith? What's the story in Luke 8:25? Well, verse 22 said, Jesus said, let us go to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth, verse 23, and they fell. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. They're filled with water and were in jeopardy. They came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. But then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where's your faith? Where's your faith? I'm in the ship. Believe I can take care of this. Disciples, where's your faith? Look with me in Romans tonight quickly. If you'll go to the book of Romans, at Romans chapter number 14. And here in this text in verse 23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever, let's read this together. Ready, begin. For whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. Turn with me to the book of James, please. The book of James, Hebrews, and then James. In James chapter 1, brethren, count it, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and complete, entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Then next verse, verse 6, to the word wavering. Shall we read it? Ready, begin. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Back it up just a few verses. We call this the great Hall of Fame chapter. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance, it's the foundation. It's the pillars. The pillar in the Christian life is faith in God. We're God's child. God can take care of us. Tonight, if God wants me and God desires to be have me in his presence, God, I believe that God can do that. If this is my night tonight, if that's what God has, I'm in his hands. I believe that I can walk through a heart attack tonight. God can heal me of that. God can give me grace to suffer through that. I don't know, but I just believe God. I believe if God wants me in his presence tonight, he'll give me grace for that journey. I believe God. I believe my days are numbered by God. And when my days are fulfilled on God's timetable, I'm going home, going home. There's nothing to hold me here. I don't really necessarily want to be on the next loadout. I want to stay here as long as I can and torment you as long as I can. But I tell you what, one reason I want to stay is to keep preaching that God rewards faith and build up that next generation. Well, that's what these buckets are about. Thank you for never complaining. What are you doing with those buckets? You're training kids that it can be done. It can be done. And I don't know if it's cyclic in other churches, but everywhere I go or people call me or talk to me or they send pictures, I'm watching buckets spring up in churches everywhere. Why? Your faith has provoked many people. I was preaching Saturday night out of town in National City, and as I preached there, all of a sudden, we're raising money for the Gideons and raising money for this and raising money for this, and then they came along with the bucket report. Praise God. And the preacher in the midst of it said, have you ever seen anything like this, Brother Treber? And smiled at me. You know how we did that? You know how $175,000 came in just in February last month because of the faith of God's people? The faith of four-year-olds and five-year-olds and bus kids and teenagers, and the faith of the senior saints and the faith of God's people. The faith of our radio family, our internet family, the faith of the Sunday school classes, the faith of the nurseries, as we exercise faith. God rewards faith, moves his heart. My Bible here in Hebrews, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the world were framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offering to God a more excellent sacrifice. Why? It was a gift by faith. He did it by faith. Verse number 5, by faith Enoch was translated. His day of his appointment to meet God, he walked into eternity by faith. I want to go back to whatever this day, and I think by the grace of God, I hope it's way out there, way down the journey. But God, I believe, is going to give me great faith to face my last day. I want great faith to believe that God is in control. I want to believe verse number 6, and I want you to read it with me. Ready, begin. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I had to learn that in Bible college 49 years ago. And when I memorized that verse 49 years ago, it's been with me all these years. But without faith, it is impossible. I don't know if we should really step out by faith and do this. Well, then don't. But you'll miss the hand of God moving. I'm not talking reckless that we have not allowed God to work in our heart. That booklet of 50 items last November when it was printed, it didn't start just a week before. There's been a file on those things for years, some of them. Believing God. It's just time to, did I give you them all? Oh, no. No, you're not ready for all of them yet. But you will. Someone said, did you add the bridge that goes across De La Cruz? It's an old-fashioned looking bridge that bridges this property with the properties across the street. I said, no, I don't think it's time to show them the bridge yet. But I'm sort of laying the groundwork. You say, will the city let you do it? No. No. I've already given to the mayor probably 4 years ago and a beautiful colored picture. This is the bridge. Where's that go? Across the street, the boulevard. I could tell, scratching the head, thinking, this can't happen. Oh, but if God wants it to happen, there's a bridge over there. God can do anything. I mean, you just ask the people that have been around here for years. We're in a property that we could not have. And we couldn't even own it. We could not park here. God, it wasn't possible. They sold it. No, we don't want your offer. But here we are. No, you can't build that women's dorm. But there it is. No, you can't build another dorm. But there it is. You can't build that common. But there it is. You can't build a 3,000-seat auditorium. You need more parking. But here it is. God can do anything. That property over there, $4.5 million left to pay it off just a few years ago. But God did it. God did it. God did not do it through the investments of the church, because I'm going to let you in on a secret. We have no investments. One of the largest grocery chains in America is owned by a church. Not this one. But this one is owned by God. And God sees to it that he meets every need. By the way, we might be in a feast time right now. And 7 years from now, we may go to famine. But God still can. God just doesn't make it all. The road through life is just not always paved with ease. God hath not promised skies always blue, flowers through pathways all of our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain, but God has promised strength for today. God wants us to exercise faith. Get up tomorrow morning and say, Lord, by your grace, I want to be able to please you in everything I do, and watch your hand move mountains by faith. By faith. I go back to Claudia and Bob. This is 42 years ago, almost, Brother Bob got saved, and we were in revival meeting. I think Mrs. Carr, we were in revival with Brother Dick Seaton, who's home with the Lord. And he was preaching. I think it was Dick Seaton, and he said, "Was it?" And he said, "I want you to know that if your husband's lost, if I were you, I'd not sleep or eat till he got saved." So Claudia was a young Christian. She didn't know any better. She didn't know that the preacher was just saying that. She just believed that she should obey that. And she went home on Stevens Road over there, and the old houses they tore down on the naval base. And Brother Bob, who was a good man and a good provider and a good military man, but a lost good religious man, said, "Come in bed?" "Nope." She started praying. She started praying and prayed and prayed. I don't know if it was a day or two or what it was later, three, but guess who got saved? I'm glad it didn't take 42 years, Claudia. You'd be very hungry by now. I don't know God's timetable, but I know God can. The Bible here, by faith, Enoch. By faith, verse 7, Noah. He built that ark by faith. They thought he was crazy. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham. Verse 9, by faith. Through verse 11, by faith. Verse 13, or 13, all died in faith. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Don't tell me that wasn't faith. "Hey, son, lay on this altar. I'm going to bind you. Dad, here's the fire. Here's the wood. But where is the lamb?" He said, "God will provide." And he picked up that knife to plunge it in his son, and there was a ram caught in the thicket. God honored the faith. In no way am I suggesting you ought to take the life of anyone. Verse 20, Isaac by faith. And 21, Jacob by faith. And verse 22, and Joseph by faith. And verse 23, and Moses by faith. And verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the sins, the pleasures of sin for a season, and esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, and he saw him who was invisible. In the Old Testament, we're out of time. I wish I could give you many references that I have written here for you tonight on faith. It's not the same word in the Old Testament as the New Testament. New Testament is faith. The word that mirrors the word faith in the Old Testament is the word trust. And so when God says trust, he's talking about faith. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, Brother Ben Wolf and Heidi, glad to see you from Kentucky back home tonight. Wonderful. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I will trust in him at all times. I will trust in him at all times. I've mentioned it before, but the night my dad had a stroke so many years ago, it's about my age right now, and he had a stroke, and Brother Andy Condit called me. He said, "Your dad has been refusing to go to the hospital all day." And I said, "Put him on the phone." I said, "Dad, I'm coming to get you. We're going to the hospital." And oh, you could see the drooping and all of it. And we took him to the hospital. I said, "Brother Andy, you bring my mother later. Let me get him all situated." And I remember when she came, and I knew she'd be all in turmoil. What's going to happen? And you know, that night, I reached over, and she was on the other side of the bed, and I put my hand in hers. And I said, "Mother, God knows." And she acted like, "Yes, I know that." She said, "Your father read to me this morning, 'My times are in thy hand.'" She said, "Son, I'm going to just trust God. Your dad is God's man. God knows what he's doing." Could we just simply begin to walk by faith and not by sight? Can we believe that God can? I know in the millennial, all this area will be ours. I can't wait to be the mayor of this city. Payback time. But I'll tell you what, if the Lord tarries, you're going to see a lot more than what he's done here already. God can. We need that firehouse property across the way. And right now, it's been a work. One of our men in the church has been working out. I don't know how to do it all, but somebody does. But I'm going to tell you this, it is totally impossible. Totally impossible. But God can. If God sees staff housing over there or bus parking, God can. If that's what God wants, ladies and gentlemen, you can take it to the bank. God's going to give it. Oh, well, we have to raise some money? Probably. Well, how are we going to do it? Take it from our savings? No, take it from our checkbooks. God knows. When we get to heaven, it's not going to be like the one preacher said. He says, when you get to heaven, you're not going to say, why did Brother Treber make us give so much? He's going to say, why didn't he have us give more? Because we lay up for ourselves not treasure on earth, but treasure in heaven. And this church is living proof that God blesses faith. Let's stand together, shall we, please, tonight.